Radio Prague News. European Union leaders have warned countries in the Eastern Partnership program that respect for the principles of democracy is a prerequisite to financial aid and closer integration. The Vatican has issued a formal protest against abuse of its embassy premises in Prague for the shooting of a historical erotic movie. And ex-president Václav Havel, who has been recuperating at his country cottage, is due back in Prague for celebrations of his 75th birthday. European Union leaders wound up a two-day summit in Warsaw on Friday with a clear message to countries in the Eastern Partnership program that respect for the principles of democracy was a prerequisite to financial aid and closer integration. EU leaders told Belarus it could count on their financial help in fighting its economic crisis if it freed political prisoners and held free elections. A similar signal was given to Ukraine, which has come under fire for persecuting its political opposition. The Eastern Partnership program, strongly championed by Prague during the country's EU presidency, offers six former Soviet satellites up to 1.9 billion euro to fight corruption, build up infrastructure and start other projects. Critics say the program gives the bloc little real ability to persuade the Eastern countries to reform their economies and protect human rights because it provides no prospect of eventual EU membership. The Vatican has issued a formal protest against abuse of its embassy premises in Prague for the shooting of a historical erotic movie. It has emerged that a politically well-connected Czech doctor who now faces rape charges organized and starred in the shooting of a historic porn film at the Vatican's embassy in Prague. Jaroslav Bartak, who has been accused of sexually abusing up to 12 of his assistants, is said to have played the role of a randy cardinal in the unfinished film. He reportedly arranged access to the embassy for the whole crew. Monika Vivodová, a spokesman for the Czech Bishops' Conference, said the Vatican embassy said the Czech doctor had gained access to the historic building under false pretenses. Ex-President Václav Havel, who has been recuperating from a chest infection at his country cottage, is due back in Prague for celebrations of his 75th birthday. Mr. Havel is said to be feeling stronger after several months in the country and is due to attend a birthday bash thrown by his close friends this Saturday. There are rumors that the former U.S. Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, a close friend of Mr. Havel's, will be among the guests of honor. Anti-Romani demonstrators from the north of the country are preparing to take their grievances to Prague in a renewed call for action. Protesters from Varsdorf and other towns in the region are to gather on Prague's Balatsky Square on Saturday to draw attention to their problems, a deteriorating security situation and rising crime for which they blame the Romani minority. The inhabitants of Varsdorf have repeatedly called on the town council to resign for failing to deal with the crisis. The Roma minority from the area is planning its own demonstration in Prague against discrimination and social exclusion. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The weather should continue warm and sunny with day temperatures between 22 and 27 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Jan Richter. In today's show, Czech Minister Karel Schwarzenberg has accused the state power giant ČEZ of secretly funding political parties. Then we have a roundup of the week's most important business news. And later we talk to the photographer Jiří Jiru, who for a decade worked as President Václav Havel's official photographer. All that and more coming your way, so please stay tuned. Czech Foreign Minister and Coalition Topo 9 party leader Karel Schwarzenberg has accused the state-controlled electricity firm ČEZ of bankrolling Czech political parties. In an interview for the news website aktualne.cz this week, Mr. Schwarzenberg said it was a public secret that ČEZ had financed parties, except his own group, Topo 9. The serious accusations were dismissed by politicians across the board, with the notable exception of František Bublan, a Social Democrat MP and former Interior Minister and the head of Czech Intelligence Service. But commentator Eric Best believes Mr. Schwarzenberg might have had his very own reasons for speaking out.
Well, I think it's difficult to say exactly what Mr. Schwarzenberg had in mind. I see two main possibilities. One is that he wanted to attract attention to himself and to raise his profile a bit. There was just a poll out this week that showed that his approval rating for direct elections, direct presidential elections, is only about 14% compared to 27% for the ex-prime minister, Jan Fischer, and 25% for the last candidate who failed to win against Mr. Klaus, and that is Jan Schwenar. So from that standpoint, his wish of becoming president, and I think it is his wish to become president, seems a bit weak at this point. It could be that he wanted to draw attention to himself and to make himself look like the anti-corruption candidate that he ran for before. The other possibility is that it's a direct attack by Mr. Schwarzenberg and Mr. Kolosek at the Civic Democrats, the ODS party, because they would be the ones you would normally suspect would be getting the most funding from the national electricity company, ČEZ, if that were the case. And it could be that Mr. Kolosek wants to attack Mr. Nečas. There are rumors that Mr. Kolosek next year will want to bring down the government. So it's a bit difficult to judge exactly what Mr. Schwarzenberg means because he's refused to really elaborate on it.
Well, these claims would be sort of easy to refute if it weren't for another politician or for one of the politicians who backed them, and that was the Social Democrat MP and former Interior Minister, and also the former head of the Czech Intelligence Service, František Bublan, who said that indeed ČEZ was paying political parties. Don't you think that that makes it a little bit more serious claim?
Certainly the comment by Mr. Bublan, who is now the head of the Security Committee in Parliament, is a very serious claim. I think judging by the reaction of his party colleagues, it's something that he is going to be made to retract because Mr. Sobotka, the party chairman, came out and denied it, of course. And there's a real risk here to Bohuslav Sobotka because he was, of course, the finance minister during the time that some of this illegal activity would have been taking place. That would make him directly responsible because it is the finance minister who exercises the shareholder rights of the Czech state, which is the majority shareholder. So Mr. Sobotka, from that standpoint, would be open to criticism. And there's also the fact that Mr. Sobotka's biggest ally and friend is the lawyer Radek Pokorny, who is well known for being in the employment of ČEZ and also being a lobbyist. So the assumption immediately would arise that he was somehow involved in this. So Mr. Sobotka, as party chairman of CSSD, has every reason to try to convince Mr. Bublan not to be talking in this way.
I was talking there to commentator Eric Best. Now Christian Falvey joins me in the studio with a roundup of the latest business news.
The new kid on the rails, RegioJet, has only been up and running since Monday, but already it's confirmed its interest in expanding. At present, the sole rival to state-run Czech Railways is competing only on the Prague-Ostrava line. As of Friday, the student agency subsidiary has upped its ante to take over the running of half of the long-distance Eurocity and Intercity trains on the Prague-Brno-Břeclav line. Student agency wrote the Ministry of Transportation on Thursday that it would like to operate the service from December of 2012 and will not be looking for state subsidies. Later, the company envisions operating all Eurocity and Intercity trains as well as express trains in the country, adding that it would save the state hundreds of millions of crowns a year.
The bankrupt lottery giant Saska was sold by tender this week to two financial groups, PPF and KKCG, the former owned by the world's richest Czech, Petr Kellner. Not by any means was everyone happy about the agreement, with some creditors calling the tender method downright illegal. The Penta Group, which boycotted the tender claiming it was legal, offered $5 billion for Saska outside of the competition and wants to contest the decision in court. According to the bankruptcy register, the bank Česká spořitelna in fact did sue for the tender to be cancelled, arguing that the contract between PPF and KKCG and the creditors board would not be valid as the creditors should not vote on their own affairs. And PPF and KKCG are both creditors. The Municipal Court of Prague tossed out the idea and subsequently blessed a new marriage with the financiers. PPF and KKCG offered the highest bid for Saska at 3.81 billion crowns.
The government approved its strategy for competitiveness in the years 2012 to 2020 this week, which was prepared by the Ministry of Industry. The strategy aspires to put the Czech Republic among the 20 most competitive countries of the world in that time. That aim comes after a slump that set the Czech position 5 slots back on the list of the World Economic Forum to 36th place. The plan relies on no less than 43 projects covering more than 200 specific measures to be taken based on the recommendations of multinational institutions and the government's own National Economic Council. Among the main pillars of the strategy are improving the effectiveness of institutions, high-quality infrastructure, and an innovation-driven economy. Trade unions and employers have approved the plan.
The Czech National Bank announced this week that the country's foreign debt had increased by 32.2 billion crowns in the second quarter of 2011 to nearly 1.8 trillion, or 48.1% of the country's gross domestic product. Year on year, that marks an increase in foreign debt of 65.7 billion that was seen across the board in all sectors of the economy, but most in the corporate sector. Foreign liabilities with maturities of longer than 1 year accounted for 72.8% of the total foreign debt in the second quarter, which analysts say means the debt structure remains favorable. Growth in external debt was particularly apparent in banking liabilities, the central bank said, with that sector accounting for 25.4% of the total debt.
The Czech economy grew faster last year than previously estimated. A revision of the national accounts carried out by the Czech Statistical Office shows growth of 2.7 as opposed to the previously announced 2.3%. The revision goes all the way back to GDP data for 1995 and is the largest to take place since that time. Part of the reason for the alternations and sometimes large modifications is the transition to new economic classifiers issued by the European Commission, which call for the calculation of so-called grey market sectors, namely prostitution, smuggling, and narcotics. Until now, the Statistics Office had only included estimates from prostitution and tobacco smuggling. The share of those grey factors in the GDP jumped from 5.8 to 7.3% after the revision. The next extraordinary revision will be in 2014.
You're listening to Radio Prague, broadcasting from the Czech capital. In this edition of The Arts, Rosie Johnstone talks to the photographer Jiří Jiru.
Jiří Jiru developed a love for photography from his uncle, the avant-garde Czech photographer Václav Jiru, before studying the discipline in Brussels and working for US publications such as Time and Newsweek. In the course of his career, Jiří Jiru has snapped celebrities ranging from the Bee Gees to Queen Elizabeth II, and spent almost a decade working as President Václav Havel's official photographer. Jiru divides his time between Prague and Brussels, which is where he found himself on August the 21st, 1968.
My mother, when I called her from Brussels, I said, listen, should I come back or should I stay? And she says, well, first you stay where you are. We shall see how it's going to develop here. And just wait when the Russians will move out. So they moved out like 25 years later, so 30 years later, so I stayed there.
Can you tell me a bit about those first years in Brussels when you moved there in 68? How old were you and how was it to settle in?
I don't remember exactly. It's such a long time. I guess I was like around 25 or something. But here I was already a photographer in Prague. and I was actually already working for some newspapers as a photographer. So I thought that the transition would go smoothly, and then I will continue immediately as a photographer for over there for the newspapers. But it was not so easy as I thought, because evidently the French was very bad. I had only a little English. So, but these days the people have been very helpful to the refugees from the east, especially because of the Russian tanks being here. It was a big story. I started to ask for the workaround, but it was impossible to get anything. So I thought, well, I'll go to school. So I went to the movie school over there, something like here. They have FAMU over there. They have Lensas. But again, it was in French. It was difficult for me, but little by little I was getting better. But after 2 years, I had to quit, actually 1 year and a half, because I had nothing to eat. So I found a job, a little bit degrading for me, because I started to develop the photographs for my competition photographers in some press agency.
You sort of ended up taking photographs for places like Newsweek and Time. What sort of things were you doing for them, and how did you get your big break there?
I just did it the way it's impossible to do today. I just went to the flat of the Time correspondent in within EC, and he received me, and he was there for Time magazine, a special correspondent for European Union, Roger Beardwood. And he started to use me as a freelance for Time within the European Commission. So I was there once a week for all the meetings and this kind of not very creative job, but very well paid, because these days New York paid like 3-4 times more than the European papers.
Can you tell me a bit about coming back to Prague, when you first sort of came back, and why you decided after all these years to sort of have a second house here and come and sort of live here at least part-time again?
Well, it was probably the biggest decision of my life. After the one that I will stay, I won't come back. I developed the clientele in basically from New York. New York Times, Business Week, Newsweek, People Magazine, all of these big blue chips. They've been my clients, and they also sent me, when it was an anniversary of Russian invasion, 1988. So I was at the Wenceslas Square, and there was really not enormous manifestation, but still manifestation with the police chasing us and everything. And I was very afraid, because they could put me in prison. Because beside the fact that I was sentenced for 2 years in prison, without my presence here, of course, for the paragraph leaving the country, and it was scary because of these white helmets at night, whole Wenceslas Square, all these big trucks putting all the manifestants inside. And I was very, very scared, really.
One future politician who you then went on to photograph quite a lot of was Václav Havel. Can you tell me a bit about working as his personal photographer?
Well, it was this big decision, because when I had the offer to become a personal photographer of President Havel, I was thinking, my God, what am I going to do now? You know? So finally, I made this decision, and I came back to take this job, which was very Hollywood-like, because I had an office at the castle looking at the beautiful Prague, looking from the window. It was unbelievable. Trouble is that they said, well, we don't have a budget for this. And I said, well, money is not really important now, because I could make the money selling the pictures to my clients abroad. So they gave me a salary of $200 a month. But I said, yes, but why not?
You come from a family of photographers. you've said yourself in the past that you've sort of been shocked when you see sometimes the similarities between your uncle Václav's photographs and your own. But you studied photography formally in Brussels. There are so many very high standard, very famous Czech photographers. Would you say that you are part of that sort of tradition?
Photography was basically a family business. My uncle was avant-garde photographer before the war and after the war. He was actually even 5 years in Dachau, and that's why also he couldn't photograph for 5 years. But when he came back after the war, he created the photography magazine, which was a quarterly, and I was helping him already while I was in Prague still, helping him with it a little bit, but I was young, I was around 20. But he helped me a lot. He taught me, actually. And I hold his flash and carrying his bags around, and then he let me even develop his photos, and he made about 11 photo books. But now it all disappeared. I came back, my aunt was dead, he was dead, and the whole archive disappeared to different places. One of them is National Museum Archive. So it took me also some 1 year before they let me go to look at it and to get some copies out of it. That's why I made a big exhibition here, two generation photographers. And it was quite a bit of success.
It seems like throughout your career, you've taken a great deal of very different sorts of photographs. I mean, I saw downstairs, you've got one of Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think on the Vltava River, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. You've taken a lot, you've taken photos of the Bee Gees, you've taken sort of photos of European politicians and lots of sort of more portrait style photos of women. Is there a particular series or epoch that you're particularly happy with?
Well, it was a project about USSR, actually, because 1987, People magazine decided they're going to make a special issue, which will be called People Goes to Russia. And we have been a group of journalists, and I was a photographer sent there. I was also afraid to go there, even having Belgian passport. That was during the time of perestroika of Gorbachev. So within 6 weeks in whole Soviet Union then, and it was the biggest work I ever done. Then I made a book out of it, actually. It's right here. I called it Photostroika, like Perestroika. So, but it was a really the most interesting work I had, because you wake up in the morning and you live in Russia for 6 weeks. It's amazing.
When he isn't in Brussels, Jiří Jiru can often be found in his Prague gallery on Jaromírova Street in the capital's Nosley district. Pay it a visit to see the aforementioned picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger afloat on the Vltava and much more from the photographer's portfolio.
That edition of The Arts with photographer Jiří Jiru was first broadcast in April 2009. We are now rounding off our regular weekday program with a rerun of Soundcheck, our Czech language learning program brought to you by Daniela Lazarová.
Welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language course, in which you can learn new phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is by the group Alkohol, and it is called Guardian Angel. The phrase to listen out for is On už mě má plný zuby.
Můj angel strašnej, on už mě má plný zuby. Vážně byl vážnej, prej mě nakope do huby. Angel strašnej, on už mě má plný.
On už mě má plný zuby literally translates as his teeth are full of me and means he is fed up with me. He has had as much as he can take. In this case, the singer says his guardian angel is fed up with getting him out of trouble. You can use the expression to refer to anything and everything from staple food that you get served up far too often, to school, which is a drag, or someone who gets on your nerves and is around far too often.
Мой ангел страшный, он уж не мапли зубы, важный был важный, прийме на копе до губы. Ангел страшный, он уж не мапли зубы, важный.
Another way to express that something irritates you is to say lezami na nervi, or he's crawling all over my nerves. This latter is used predominantly for people who you are fed up with or an activity that is monotonous and tedious. Or you can also say ush toho mam pokrk, I'm up to my neck with it, I'm not prepared to take any more.
Poslouchej. Už toho mám plný zuby, nekecám, já tě nakopu do huby, poslouchej, už toho mám plný zuby, vážně, já tě. Můj anděl strážný, on už mě má plný zuby, vážně.
The simplest and most explicit way of stating the same, and one that I would recommend to beginners in view of the fact that many foreigners are sure to have trouble pronouncing the three consonant word for neck, is to say instead mam toho dost, which means simply I have had enough, and sounds very emphatic indeed, to the point of being openly rude. If you're going to refuse a second helping in Czech, it would be advisable to say mam dost děkuji, I have had enough, thank you. Už toho bylo dost, or there's been enough of that already, was one of the slogans chanted during the Velvet Revolution, when the crowd wanted to send the communists in power a cryptic message. We've had enough of you.
Můj anděl strašnej, on už mě má plný zuby, vážně byl vážnej, prej mě na kope do huby. Anděl strašnej, on už mě má plný zuby, vážně.
On the other hand, if your resources are stretched to the limit by some activity which does not normally irritate you, you can say mám toho plný kecky, my tennis shoes are full of it, I can't handle any more. Or mám toho zavandr, I'm as tired as after a long hike. Už me už posledního means I'm grinding the last of something, or grinding to a halt. Well, hopefully this Czech lesson has not proved too fatiguing. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for learning Czech with me and naschledanou.
Už toho mám plný zuby, vážně, já tě. Můj anděl strážný, on už mě má plný zuby, vážně byl vážně.
Daniela Lazarová with Soundcheck was the final part of Radio Prague's English show for today. All our programs are available online at www.radio.cz. If you have any comments or questions, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can contact us at email at english@radio.cz or send a letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. But for now, from me, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.